From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Wonderful Monday. Jim Williams with you, and I'm joined in studio by pastor and author Clarence Washington Sr. Pastor Washington, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
You have been spending quite a bit of your time writing. Pastor Washington is the author of several books, but he's written a series called Hijacked, How Dr. King's Dream Became a Nightmare. Pastor Washington is the senior pastor of Abundant Life Community Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The volume one of your series is called The Dream. Volume 2 is called The Hijack. Volume 3 is called The Nightmare. Volume 4 is called The Recovery. And now Volume 5 is out, and it's called The Demonic.
Yes.
Pastor, I want maybe for you, if you would, just explain why the series and what where you go in all five of your books.
Well, in Volume 1, I talk about the principles that Dr. King laid out in his dream. To fix what is wrong with America. And that principle is broken down into what I call dream goals and dream methods. There are three dream methods, and there are four dream goals. And these are all goals and methods that were given to Dr. King by God. It's a God-ordained dream. And then in volume two, I talk about how Dr. King's dream has been hijacked, all the various things that people have done to try to make Dr. King's dream, to keep it from becoming a reality.
You've spent a lot of time studying Dr. King's writings.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So most of us are familiar with his I Have a Dream speech. Mm-hmm. Absolutely unbelievable in both content and presentation. Mm-hmm. It was given on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. on August 28th of 1963. Most of us are familiar with the I Have a Dream speech. But when you say Dr. King's dream, you're really talking about all of his writings.
Yes, I'm really talking about all of his writings, but really, what I did, I took his dream and I dissected his dream, his message, I Have a Dream, into those things that I talked about, his dream methods and dream goals. But then I researched his writings to see how he supported that, to explore those dream methods and dream goals more deeply, because his speech was not enough to give people a good understanding of what his dream goals and dream methods meant.
I want to bring up just one example, and then we're going to get into the meat of the program and talk about the demonic, the hijack, the mm-hmm. spiritual warfare, which we haven't really touched on a lot of that in the times that we visited. Mm-hmm. But I want to touch on this for a second. So, for example, one of the things that Dr. King talked about at a time when there was a great deal of violence when it came to civil rights in the mid-60s. Dr. King espoused nonviolent resistance.
Yes.
And all of his writings talk about love and mm-hmm. forgiveness mm-hmm. and literally allowing people that were demonstrating and resisting the culture of racial bigotry and discrimination. He was talking about loving people and forgiving them. And many of the people that were carrying out, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of people that were peacefully demonstrating, they were allowing people to spit on them and hit them, and yet they did not resist with violence. Mm-hmm. They endured this. I mean, I can't see how that would be anything but a God thing, Pastor.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, Dr. King's method of nonviolent resistance was all blamed on what he called unearned suffering, okay, which is based in, I think it's Matthew's 5, I believe, where the Lord talks about turn the other cheek. And so Dr. King was a great proponent of that, and he knew that that the principle of turn the other cheek worked on an individual level. He did not know that it would work on a national level, and so what he did was he studied the works of Mahatma Gandhi, and through Mahatma Gandhi, he realized that not only would that principle of unearned suffering or turn the other cheek work on a personal individual level, but it would also work on a national level.
And really, the principle is a principle of love.
Yes, it is.
Forgiveness. And that's absolutely biblical.
Yes.
And it did change things.
Yes, it did.
But it's not taken us to where you obviously would like to see it or any of us would like to see it. We still have prejudice, bigotry, those kind of things. But something that's different about you is there's a number of different things like social justice and Black Lives Matter and wokeism and all of these different terms have come about maybe in the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't believe many of those concepts are biblical. And thus, there comes the hijack, because a lot of people that are involved in the woke community, if you will,
mm-hmm.
identify themselves and drop the name of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. very frequently.
Yes, they do. And I don't believe that those terms, I don't believe in critical race theory, social justice, transgenderism, we can go on, climate control. I don't believe that those things are of God, because when you look and compare them with Scripture, then it's obvious that they are not. In fact, on each of the strongholds, on each of the things that I say that are hijacking Dr. Green, such as I said, abortion, we know, critical race theory, social justice, transgenderism, climate control, and open border policy, each of those things I have shown that they're not biblical by comparing what Scripture said about each one of them. So it's not a matter of something that I believe. It's what Scripture says, what the Bible says. And abortion, the Lord says he hates the shedding of innocent blood. Critical race theory, the Lord says he judges by a man's heart and not by his outward appearance. Social justice, he said that you should not declare the guilty innocent. And also in Amos chapter 5, verse 24, he says that righteousness and justice go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. You can't separate the two. On transgenderism, he said he made people to be male and female and not all the other many other genders that people try to fabricate or make themselves. On climate control, he says that in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, that the biblical role of the civil government is to maintain a safe, just, and righteous environment for the people to inhabit, where freedom can abundantly exist. And so all of these things are quite obvious, not of God. And so they have hijacked Dr. King's dream and also the American dream as well.
Let's talk now about the spiritual component. Most of us understand the contrary messages and the messaging that's been espoused in each one of those categories, because we hear it every day in the media. In fact, sometimes some people would say that the media has embraced all of that and may be a co-conspirator in the hijack.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk now about the demonic.
Mm-hmm.
It's your fifth volume.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're obviously trying to get people to understand that this is spiritual warfare.
Yes.
That people that may be espousing one of these philosophies may not even be aware that they are playing right into the hands of the enemy and not doing. They may not even know.
Yeah, most people aren't aware. Yeah, most people, as I said, you know, which is the proposition of Hijack Volume 5, that most of the American people have been afflicted with insanity and are being taught how to live by demons and don't even know it. You know, and I spent some amount of time telling why that's true in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 28 to 29. Also in other scriptures such as Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 32, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. which says that the God of this age has blinded, the God of this age, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so, and most people, they aren't aware they have been afflicted. And the reason why God afflicts people is that and God does this. I'll start by saying God does that when you exalt anything above his knowledge, his plans, or his wisdom for daily living. Then he afflicts people, as Deuteronomy chapter 28 says, with madness, mental blindness, and confusion of heart and mind.
Well, you know, you quote very well-known conservative commentators on the Bible, like Lewis Berry Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you say is, quoting him, is they believe they are following the leadership of the systems, institutions, and structures that they are associated with or employed by, when in reality it is the voice of Satan himself speaking through their leaders or the voices of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that he wrote a long time ago.
Yes, yes.
So this isn't new.
No, it isn't new. But, you know, any time that you start talking about spiritual things that go beyond the normal things that are taught and preached in churches, and when you start really getting deep into the spiritual issues of life, a lot of people that are not familiar with these things they will refuse to believe them. They have a hard time understanding them because it goes beyond the realm of the general milquetoast type things that are taught in many of our churches in America today.
Well, let me give another example to our listeners. You said earlier in this interview that you don't believe in critical race theory. Mm-hmm. Well, critical race theory has really infiltrated most of the school systems, particularly in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it's espoused as being a way to educate students of all races how to understand and get along. Mm-hmm. Is that really what critical race theory is about?
No, it's not. Critical race theory is really about, number one, it's about dividing people. It really hurts my heart when I think about that particular subject, because critical race theory has so done such a great disservice to Dr. King's dream, for example, and everything else that we believe as a people in America. And when you think about critical race theory, we need to understand that at the core of this, like the other things that are taught and espoused by leftist Marxists, at the core of this, it is to divide the American people so that the American way of living can be replaced with something else, and that something else is Marxism. Critical race theory, it says that if you're white or possessed with what the critical race theory is called the white mentality, you are inherently a perpetrator or supporter of racism just because of the color of your skin, which Dr. King clearly said you don't judge people by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And then it says, critical race theory says, if you're a person of color, then you are inherently a victim of all white people because all of them are perpetrators of racism and can't help themselves. This argument... The critical race theory argument, along with the social justice argument, were specifically designed and developed to destroy the possibility of Dr. King's dream and the American dream from becoming a reality. And critical race theory and social justice, it goes against everything that Dr. King's God-given dream stands for. It is a theory that is the antithesis of both Dr. King's dream and the American dream as defined by the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And James Lindsay, who has written many times on of various articles, and he has a book. He says that critical race theory is not a continuation of the civil rights movement. It is, in fact, a repudiation of it. To critical race theorists, Martin Luther King was both wrong and naive.
Again, you're showing a contrast between what most people think critical race theory is and what it actually does.
Exactly.
And that's the hijack. It's yes. for them to associate critical race theory with anything that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said or did or wrote is absolutely a hijack, isn't it?
Totally opposite. Totally opposite. The critical race theory argument has permeated every level of the American education system, the government, the American business and industrial complex, the Department of Defense, and some Christian churches, some even whole denominations. And you see, if Dr. King's dream and the American dream becomes a reality in the lives of African Americans, for example, in particular, or everybody in America, then leftist progressive liberals won't have anybody to control and maintain the ideological and the political advantage that they now possess. They won't be anyone for them to deceive and manipulate with their demonically flawed ideological arguments to keep them in power. And so they're doing this for a very particular reason. They know that this is bringing disunity in America. It's destroying the American way of living, because that's what they want to do. And so critical race theorists and their supporters, they want to take the color blindness view of race out of the equation for solving Americans' problem, which means it will be guaranteed to fail. And so they know exactly what they're doing. They want to go back to the future and embrace the race consciousness view of the American populace that existed during the Jim Crow era. Critical race theorists, for example, and their devotees, they don't believe in racial interrogation or the melting pot concept, where people will with different racial backgrounds come together and share values, political power, and society itself. And so we see that their whole reason for promoting the critical race theory is to divide us.
Well, Pastor, I believe that the underlying theme of all five of your volumes is that this is a spiritual war.
Yes, without a doubt.
But I would say, even based on our discussion today, a lot of people might be thinking about the politics of our day,
mm-hmm.
and maybe thinking that we can solve this with the politics of the day. And really, the only way we can really solve this is spiritually changing the hearts of people. And sure, that may affect in a positive way the politics of the day, but you've got to start there. And I can't help but think about Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." So we're going to talk more about this spiritual warfare. If you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect, Pastor and author Clarence Washington Sr. with us today. We'll be back. Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I'm with my friend and pastor and author Clarence Washington Sr. He has written a 5-book series about the writings of Dr. Martin Luther King and his plan to really bring Americans together and to get rid of racism. And he believes that plan is a big biblical plan, and that it's based on all of the writings, not just the "I Have a Dream" speech, in which Dr. King kind of outlined most of these steps. But he believes that this dream and this biblical mandate has really been hijacked. And so his 5th volume is called The Demonic, and it's about the spiritual warfare that we are experiencing. Pastor Washington, you spent the first segment talking about what certain groups are doing and maybe purposely hijacking the dream. You've referred to this as pushing us towards socialism. I know that I've interviewed multiple people, like, for example, Slave Volosanov, who is in Croatia. He spends all of his time, he's create businesses, plants churches. These pastors are able to be like tent makers and make a living while they're preaching the gospel throughout all the Balkans and, you know, the former states of the Soviet Union, etc. And he describes the void in those former socialist countries, and some are still socialist, that there's a big hole in the middle of people that they've not even been allowed to speak about God. And that's true for people of all religious faiths. They've outlawed all of that. Now, of course, we know that Islam is probably as prevalent as Christianity, but Christianity is really growing in those areas because God has come in and filled those holes. So here's a difficult question for you. We've talked about people that I'm assuming are not believers in Jesus Christ. They are not Christians, espousing a lot of this wokeism and critical race theory, et cetera. But I have a hard question for you. Are Christian people also blinded by the spiritual warfare you speak about in your book?
And I'd say yes, without a doubt, they are. As a matter of fact, everyone or anyone who exalts, raises, or considers things other than the knowledge, plan, or wisdom of God, anyone who raises other things above the knowledge, wisdom, and plans of God is blinded by the spiritual warfare that Satan is waging in this world. Even though Christians can't be possessed or completely controlled by Satan, they can be greatly influenced by him. It is not the Christian label or the mere fact that a person say that they believe in Jesus that keeps Satan from blinding people, but it's their practice of the word that fills them with the Holy Spirit and keeps Satan from blinding them with spiritual warfare. And so it's not just that you can, just because I say that I'm a Christian, just because I go through the motions, if I'm not walking in the word, then I can be blinded by spiritual warfare like an unbeliever.
So it's probably a little earlier in the show than I had planned, but you introduce a term in your book in chapter 3 called spiritual mapping.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I want to ask you about what's the answer for the Christians and maybe the unbelievers, people that want to serve the community and do the right thing and actually bring people together that may be deceived right now about maybe they're participating in, you know, critical race theory. They don't even realize they're espousing something because it seems to sound good. Although I know that there's a lot of people with spiritual discernment that are coming out and saying, no, this is not what is going to bring America together. These are things that are divisive.
Mm-hmm.
And they are things that are designed to have you be controlled, not have freedom. And we do have freedom both in the Lord and politically in our country. And that's something that I think we dearly want to hold on to, is to be able to worship God in the way we choose to.
Yes. And, you know, I think, you know, and history tells us that at various times throughout the history of the Christian church, that we have had to call upon the Holy Spirit in a more intense fashion. When you look at how demons were cast out of people third world countries where the gospel had not been proclaimed. There was always a more intense casting out of demons, for example, okay? Because those people had a higher level of spiritual warfare being waged against them because they did not have any concept of the gospel. That's where we are in America today. We've got to let the Holy Spirit take us to a new higher level. And what I mean by that is that we've got to be more intense and specific in our prayers to name the strongholds that are holding people down, and to pray with specificity for those strongholds to be for those strongholds to be torn down, and for demons to be cast out or to be bound. Okay.
Can you give us an example of what you're calling people to do in Albuquerque that are part of a Christian church? What are you calling
okay.
us to pray for?
Well, I can tell you exactly what I'm calling people in Albuquerque. The reason is because I spent lots of time defining that our church right now is going through some what I'll call some spiritual warfare training, plus we're going through about how the specific things that we need to pray for. And let me just give you some example. Now, if we talk about Albuquerque in specific, one of the things that that we're praying for in Albuquerque, and I have a list of them because I have taken the time to do that with some level of specificity. I have a list here,
This is all part of the when you talk about spiritual mapping. And I should tell our listeners that you have an engineering background.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you know the steps it takes to build things, mm-hmm. physical objects. I know you can't even talk to us because you worked in a secure area at Sandia for much of your career. Mm-hmm. So you can't talk about a lot of the things that you developed. But you're taking, in some sense, I'm assuming, and maybe I shouldn't do that, but you're taking that education in engineering, your knowledge of what the scriptures say, the available assets we have to pray and to ask God and what we can count on and knowing his power, you really want us to have, you're leading us with a plan in
yes,
this new book.
A plan, and because in order to deal with where we are in America today, we have to do what I call some spiritual scrubbing. The enemy has made so many inroads, deep inroads into our American culture that we can't just pray to not lay me down to sleep, but I pray the Lord my soul to keep kind of prayers for spiritual warfare anymore. Now, what I have defined, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 strongholds that the enemy has gained in the immediate community, what I call the immediate community, and that's a four quadrant area around Abundant Life Community Church in Albuquerque, Bernalillo County, the state of New Mexico, and America in general. Now, I'll just do these five real quickly, then I'll say what I have defined for New Mexico in particular. But one is the stronghold of homelessness, the stronghold of transgenderism, the stronghold of critical race theory, the stronghold of social justice, and the stronghold of abortion. All of these things go against the knowledge, plans, and will of God. Now, for the state of New Mexico in particular, what I have identified is the pro-choice, pro-late-term abortion stronghold, which is really a very strong one in New Mexico because it has caused New Mexico for decades to rank among the lowest in the country in per capita income, 49th in economic security, 48th in health, and 50th in the education domain. Then also, and so besides the abortion stronghold, which I know that everyone knows about, in addition to that, to show you how strong that is, in New Mexico, even after the repeal of Roe v. Wade, our governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, signed an executive order that pledged $10 million to build a new abortion clinic in New Mexico. So we need to pray that the abortion stronghold would be torn down.
Now, Pastor, can I ask a question about that? Because
yes.
There's people that are listening right now mm-hmm. that are thinking, well, a woman has the right to choose, and again, I'm just saying the arguments that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think Christians realize is that from the time of conception, that is a person,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the Bible also commands us to defend the helpless.
Yes.
And so I think many Christians are... Now, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that have had abortions. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people that, for example, our good friends at CareNet. Mm-hmm. They do an amazing job of working with women that are considering terminating a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. They love them no matter what their decision
yes.
is. And the thing that's most interesting that I emphasize every time they're on the air is almost everybody that works there has at one time or another had an abortion.
Yes.
So not only has God forgiven them, but they no longer have shame about it. Their testimony is to get people to understand that life is precious.
Yes.
And it is God-breathed.
Yes.
And that's the whole argument. And you've said this to me. Pastor, you are a black man that is highly educated. And you've gone in and you've looked at who are most of the babies being aborted in this country. Mm-hmm. Is it something like 60,000 black children are aborted annually?
I don't have.
I mean, it's astronomical.
Yes, it's very high. Yes,
and that is disproportional to the white population.
Yes,
and maybe not that disproportional to the Hispanic population, but it all happens very commonly to people that don't have a lot of means.
Yes, yes, and you know, that's one of the sad things about the fact that black people and Hispanic people, and particularly New Mexico, are supporting, and I'll just say it, are supporting a progressive, liberal, Democratic Party that is the biggest supporters and promoters of this, okay? And so, and it really hurts to my heart because I know that, and yet many of my black brethren, black Christian brethren, are big supporters of the Democratic Party, who for years have not been their enemy, but their friend, have used them in every way possible.
Could I ask you this question?
Mm-hmm.
What we're really talking about is sin.
Yes.
And would you say that there's not less sin in the Republican Party?
No, it's not less.
But it's different, isn't it?
Yes. No, there's not less. And I only point that out because the time for tiptoeing through the tulips is over.
Mm.
America is in a very dire straits. And I cannot not name the people who are behind the problems that we have in America.
You know, I had an interesting conversation with Carla Sontag, the New Mexico Business Coalition, and you know Carla.
Mm-hmm.
And Carla has actually defined the progressive movement as a different party
mm-hmm.
other than the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a native New Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Democrats I know in this state line up with almost exactly everything from Christ to Second Amendment rights to limiting abortion to, and these are people that call themselves Democrats, but the progressive people, I call them the party of control.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to have freedom.
No.
They want to control your life.
Exactly. And the progressive liberals have hijacked the Democratic Party, and a lot of people have not realized that yet. You know, America has been made great because of both the Democrats and the Republicans. America needs both of them, but it doesn't need either party to take our nation to the extremes. And that's what we see the Democratic Party doing now more so than the Republican Party. And you just got to call it out, you know. No one...
In your experience,
mm-hmm.
do we tend to get haughty or arrogant about our position? Does not Scripture keep us humble and in line?
Yes, it does. You know,
and that's what both sides forget.
Yes. Both sides forget that it's all about God. Okay? And Scripture says, many are the plans of man, but it's the purposes of the Lord that prevails. Mm. And His purposes are going to prevail in the end. There's no doubt about it, you know. I know that we have an unwed mother's ministry. Well, we're trying to get it off the ground from where it is right now. We're still doing some unwed mother's ministry because we want women who are having, in the process of having a baby, to have to be able to come to our church and realize that we're not going to put them down, discredit them, make them look like second-class citizens. We're going to do everything we can to help them. And then even if they decide not to take our advice and to abort a baby, we're going to help them after that and let them know that, look, God forgives you, and we're here to do everything that we can to help you to recover from this and have a successful life. That's why we have an unwed mother's ministry. So we're not putting it down, but we've got to tell the truth to people about it, about what it does to them. You know, I can't tell you, I can't say I love you and then not, and then hide from you the truth about this thing that, the truth about what this thing that you're about to do is going to do to you.
Yeah.
You
know? And I think we've had, I mentioned CareNet, and number of their different people in service with that organization have come on. They've had abortions and they've shared how they felt 20 years after terminating a pregnancy.
They're still suffering.
And they didn't realize until they received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, then it totally changed their entire life.
Yes.
Hey, let's go back to my question that I asked a little bit earlier and that I so rudely interrupted about, what are you asking the churches to pray for?
Okay, okay, we've already said to pray that the abortion stronghold would be torn down. Also, to pray that the New Mexico House of Representatives and the New Mexico State Senate, that the stronghold, well, let me put it this way, there has been passed by the State House Representatives and the State Senate, they have passed House Senate Bill 4 and House Senate Bill 7 and House Bill 207, Senate Bill 13, Senate Bill 180, and Senate Bill 390. And all of these have been signed into law by our governor. And all of those things are either trying to take away parental authority, take away parents, or to do things, for example, that allow the school not to tell the parents that their children are transgender. All of these things are against things that that parents don't support. And you can go to NewMexicoFam.org and get a prescription of a referendum bill that is being promoted by Better Together New Mexico, We the People, New Mexico Moms for Liberty, Freedom Families United, and Rio Grande Foundation. And we're praying that the people of Mexico would pray that the strongholds that are keeping that bill from gaining enough signatures so it could be put on a referendum, that that stronghold would be torn down so the people of New Mexico would have a chance to vote whether they want that or not, and that God would remove the blinders from the people so they'd be able to see the destruction that it's causing to our state, and so they would vote that this bill, this referendum would pass, and those bills would be rescinded.
So your church is praying weekly.
We're praying for these particular things on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
And you're praying for heart change, really.
Yes, praying for heart change. We're praying, for example, that the hearts of our, we're praying by name that the hearts of our state representatives and state senators would be changed so that they would pass bills that would be conducive to the safety, security, and the well-being of our state.
You know, you've brought up our governor's name, Michelle Lujan Grisham.
And we're praying that same prayer for her, that her heart would be changed.
And I want people to understand, we can say we disagree with some politician. You can say that about anybody, Christians or not. But if you're willing to really sit down and pray for that person and their prosperity and a relationship to start or continue or expand with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a loving way to approach this.
Yes.
And you believe that's the answer?
Yes. The Bible commands us to pray for our leaders. We can't just sit back and criticize them. It tells us that we're supposed to pray for them. And if you're not doing that, then that in itself is the sin of omission, because we are called to pray for them.
Well, I got to take a break and say thank you to our sponsors real quick. Jared's in the control room looking at me like, well, we missed our 1:30 break, so he'll probably slap me in the head when we're done. I'm just teasing. But Jared's a good man. He's going to keep us on the air no matter what. So let's say thank you to our sponsors. We have pastor and author Clarence Washington Sr. in studio, and we're talking about his book, fifth volume, and it's just really interesting. I kind of got caught up in that segment listening to you talk about the spiritual warfare. So when we come back, we are going to spend a little bit more time talking about concepts like critical race theory and why those are not really things that Dr. King would have agreed with. And again, Dr. King's dream, Clarence Washington believes, was absolutely a biblical mandate and based on Scripture. So, and we're going to end the whole broadcast today with Pastor Washington praying in a way that he believes we should all be praying for our leadership around this country. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after this. I think this history is relevant. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his I Have a Dream speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. on August 28, 1963. His famous speech occurred less than 3 months before the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and 5 years before Dr. King himself was assassinated. The I Have a Dream speech is kind of a summary or a synopsis, if you will, of all of Dr. King's writings. Clarence Washington Sr., pastor of Abundant Life Church here in Albuquerque, and also author of many, many books. By the way, if you want to look at some of those books, go to clarencewashingtonauthor.com, and you'll see some interesting things. He wrote a book called When Truth is Always Your Goal, Freedom is Always Your Destiny. Other books include Tools for Effective Prayer and Victory Every Day and in Every Way. And Pastor, you're using some of your studies on these other books and things that you've learned preparing for the pulpit ministry that you've had for many years. You're kind of combining a lot of those together now in talking about ways that we can pray for America in what you call spiritual mapping in your book, The Demonic.
Yes, yes. You know, it's something that I have been doing for some period of time, so far as developing specific things that we should be praying for, and let me just say just a little bit about the spiritual mapping, and what spiritual mapping is: researching our cities to discover the inroads that Satan has made into aspects of the lives of our people. Is the process of discovering the devices of Satan. And George Otis Jr., that was a quote, the process of discovering the devices of Satan is a quote by George Otis Jr. And it is a research that must be done with specificity so that it can indeed uncover all of those strongholds that are keeping people from receiving the gospel. And it's needed for every city or municipality so that people would be forced to come out of denial and to see exactly what the enemy is doing in our cities, our states, in America in general. So it's really just uncovering all of the areas that Satan has gained control of, and then praying that those strongholds would be torn down. And so it's a research project, and then developing spiritual warfare strategies, which include prayer and also include such things as Jericho marches or prayer marches around a neighborhood or an institution, or identification or repentance and forgiveness, or just regular prayers or confession of sin and repentance, and identifying who needs to participate in them. And so what spiritual mapping does is that it records the character of the battlefield or the municipality of concern. So it's looking deep into what the problems are, not just saying, well, we need to pray that this particular thing, for this particular thing, for this thing, but we look at the details of what needs to be prayed for. Because I think Satan has gotten such a detailed stronghold over us. And remember that, as many have said before, that Satan is in the details. And so we as Christians have got to get into the details of what's going wrong in our nation.
Why do you believe God is allowing the enemy and his demons to have more and more influence on our government?
Because we are abandoning him or falling away from him more and more. And so he has to do more and more things to bring us back to him. He has to give us a stronger and stronger medicine to bring us back to him.
Here's a quote from page 429 of your book. God has done this because our relentless exalting of arguments, ideologies, and world views above his knowledge, his plans, and his wisdom. So I want to reiterate, we're talking about we think that our plans, our thinking is above God's.
Yes.
Which it obviously isn't. So you say, now it's time to scrub or die, as our thinking and behavior as a nation has so plainly demonstrated.
Yes, and that's what spiritual mapping is all about, is being very specific and determining the strongholds that are over particular parts of our city, for example, that's over different parts of our state. We have to start looking at detail. You know, what's affecting the various communities? What's affecting the various parts of a particular county? We have to get into the details. It's like if you have a puppy that you're trying to clean, instead of just putting soap and water and spraying on him, you have to start scrubbing in all the cracks and crannies. And that's what we've got to do in America. We've got to start identifying what Satan's strongholds are in all of the various little parts of our nation, because each one has a different stronghold. Each one has a different way in which Satan is influencing them. And so we have to identify what those various different things are so we can pray for them with specificity and not just have general prayers, but we'll pray for a specific, the problems at a specific area of a state or a nation is dealing with.
So we have a primary election coming up the first week of June. In fact, I think early voting is available right now for the primary. And then, of course, we have a general election coming up in November. Would a reasonable prayer for this time be that the people running for office wouldn't say or do things or espouse a particular ideology just because they want to be reelected?
Yes. The our leaders have to go back to doing what's best for the people and not what's best for their campaign.
And what is the guide they should be following for that?
They should be following the word of God. There is nothing else that is going to do an effective job of doing what's right for the people. Because as I said, many are the plans of man, but it's the God purposes that prevails. And Romans chapter 13 tells us that our government is supposed to provide those things for our safety, for our security, and create an environment so that we can possess the freedoms and exercise the freedoms that were given to us by God.
Well, Pastor, I'm going to ask you to do something. We've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay.
I wonder if you would mind leading us and our listeners in a prayer that we could just pray together for the rest of the show. It's going to be, 2.5 minutes long. And I'm hoping that people will come together and agree with you in this prayer. Would you close our show that way?
Yes. Father, we just come humbly before you, thanking you for who you are and for all that you mean to us, realizing that solutions to our problems can only be solved by you. And so we pray, first of all, that you would change the hearts and minds of all of those leaders that you have put over us, because you have told us in your word that there are no government that's established except that you do it. And so we just pray that you would work upon their hearts and minds and spirits to fulfill what you've called them to do in providing a safe and secure environment, an environment where we can exercise the freedoms that you gave us. And then, my Heavenly Father, me and my fellow Christians and citizens, we've acted very wickedly toward you, Heavenly Father, and we have not insisted that our government provide a safe, just, and righteous environment to live in for the people of our immediate community, the city of Albuquerque, the people of Bernalillo County, the people of the state of New Mexico, and the people of the United States of America. We have not done that so that freedom could abundantly exist and provide an environment in which you could be glorified to the maximum. Me and my fellow Christians and citizens have instead allowed an environment to exist so that every inclination of the thoughts of our hearts is increasingly becoming only evil all the time. And so we pray that you would put upon our hearts and our minds to pray for our leaders and to confront them when they are not doing what you have called them to do. We pray you forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse us, empower us, and lead us into a state of continuous, genuine repentance when we sin against you in the future. Heavenly, most gracious Father, we have ignored you, the instructions that you gave your servant Moses, saying that for the nation that did not obey your knowledge, plans, and wisdom, you would afflict the people of such a nation with insanity, make them borrowers instead of lenders, unsuccessful in everything that we do. And now, Heavenly Father, we are experiencing those things that you said that would happen to us. And so we come asking you to forgive us, to tear down those strongholds so that we don't have to continue to experience the curse. We pray that, Heavenly Father, that you would show the grace and mercy that you have in the past. Even though your children in the past have been disobedient to you, Lord, you still show grace and mercy. You've still been a God that has shown that you've loved us. And so we pray right now, Lord, guide us, show us how you want us to live in the future. Make this something that we will continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Washington. The book is called Hijacked, How Dr. King's Dream Became a Nightmare. The fifth volume, The Demonic, talking about spiritual warfare in our country and how Christians around the world can make changes in at all levels, including politics, but it starts with prayer. I hope you'll pick up the book. Pastor Washington, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.